QFC, QFC, QFC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is connected every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. A lot of good information there and applications for the club. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, I don't really have any announcements here other than that winter is coming, so check all your outside antennas and gear and make sure everything's up to snuff. Probably going to get, always as we do, rain and snow. So anyway, now's the time to check it out. All right, topic for the evening will be actually part two of one that we did a while back. And this is a gentleman who is on an adventure with a portable. This is Adventure Portable Part 2 from QST Magazine in October, page 75. This gentleman has actually gone out into the wilds, and now he's going down the Arkansas River. So we're going to go over his article here and what he ran into and all the fun and troubles that he had. But brief, but before that, our brief but great roster we have here of all our people are out there every week. So we'll start with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is WB6CLZ, Dowdy in Placentia. Hey, Chip is listening, but he doesn't have a microphone, so give him a howdy. Back to you, Tom.
All right. Yeah, we see Chip on there on Echolink, because I see he's on there. W6POO Chip, glad to have you joining us this evening. See you on Echolink there. Anyway, thanks Mike for being out there. And also I have WB6CIN Cindy, is she out there?
Good evening Tom, this is WB6CIN.
And good evening there Cindy, and glad to have you with us from Placentia. How about KA6CIA George? All right, nothing heard from George out there this evening. Let's give old KE6RJ Harry and KE6QI Nancy a shout. All right, don't hear Harry and Nancy out there this evening. Let's move on down to KJ6HCS, Mike. And strike three. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, well, we'll move ahead here. All right, how about WA6ITC Rod?
Yeah, from Mike Williams,
WA6ITC. And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you out there listening in. How about KJ6FIL, Mike? All right, don't hear Mike out there from Redlands. Let's move on down here to KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary. See if he's out there.
KJ6FIL, sorry you was covered up.
Oh, okay, there you are, Mike. Appreciate that. And I don't hear Jim out there. Yeah, try to bear with us if you can hear down there. I know you got interference, so thanks for being out there. All right, next I have WB6PBZ Ray. Is he out there? Okay, don't hear Ray out there. How about KI6IQA Kelly? And an announcer from Kelly, how about K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach? Stephen out there. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GBL.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to have you out there and have you checking in this evening. I think we got some interference from south of the border. Everybody try to bear with us there. And this is KF62, Tech Tuesday. Tech Tuesday in the group. Every Tuesday that we can. Next, I have AD6PL. Let's see if Harold's out there from Riverside.
Evening, AD6PL. I got a comment for you.
Yes, Harold. Go ahead.
You might listen real close, about 5 minutes, 3 minutes, something like that, before you came on. There was an English-speaking station, American station, with barely, the audio was barely in there, but there was a lot of noise with it, so there's something else going on too, 86 PL.
Okay, Harold, appreciate that. Yeah, we'll see what we can do, whatever we can do, of course. All right, let's see, let's move on down here. Let's see if he's out there. Sometimes he is. K6LCS Quinn. All right, don't see her. I don't hear Quinn out there this evening. How about KJ6PYB Dave?
Good evening, Tom Annette. KJ6PYB, checking in.
Hey, Dave. Glad to have you out there, and thanks for checking in. All right, I don't think these two people are back yet, so we're going to move on down to K6YNW Chris from the Low Desert.
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Glad to have you out there listening in. How about, I got W6PO, of course, I've already got in here, but that's, he would normally be right here. How about K6LAN Bill? Bill, you out there?
No, she's in, no here. K86LAN.
That's what I figured there, Bill. All right, good to hear you out there, and good seeing you again today. And by the way, thanks again for the peaches. How about Ron, WA6HF? All right, I don't hear Ron out there. Let's try KJ6QYN. See if Shelly's out there from Apple Valley. All right, I don't hear Shelly out there. Let's see if Rick, haven't heard Rick in a while, NQ7RD. And no Rick this evening. How about, moving on the other page here, my good friend AE6TK Victor. All right, well, I don't hear Victor out there. How about KA6ROD Rod? I don't hear Rod. How about W6JET, Rob? All right, well, let's see. How about KJ6RAY, Ray?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6RAY Mobile.
Well, good evening there, Ray. Glad to hear you out there. Glad to hear that I am getting out. All right, well, drive safe out there. That is the majority of the people on my list. Let's see if we have anybody else out there that would like to check in this evening with Tech Tuesday in the group.
Hi, QA. Guess I must have missed you.
Oh, Kelly, glad to have you out there. Yeah, I think we didn't hear you when you we didn't hear you out there. Good to have you out there. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'll spit it out there. Sorry. Anybody else out there would like to check in?
Tom, good evening, W6AWO.
Hey, got Art out there and has somebody just barely underneath him. Other station, go ahead. All right, has somebody else out there. Anyway, glad to hear you out there. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest?
Some conversation when you're all done with this thing, and I'll be sitting here listening, and I think from my location you may pick something else up underneath me. Appreciate that. We'll listen up. W6AWO.
Okay, yeah, and Art, there was somebody else in there with you again. Thanks for being out there. And, yeah, station that was also just in there, please come back.
Kilo 6, Uniform Papa Delta.
Uniform Papa Delta, glad to have you out there this evening. Thanks for checking in. Anybody else? All right, well, that is a good group. Motley Crue, as I say. Well, Mike, this is kind of a cool article. This guy has really taken, you know, just an adventure with his radio to the extreme, I think. But we did do his first part here. Now, he is out in the Arkansas wilderness, I guess. Anyway, I'm sorry, Arkansas River above Granite, Colorado. Anyway, so anyway, wherever he's at out there. So he's basically in Colorado on the Arkansas River. And Mike, he's in a kayak. This guy is in a kayak. He's got radio gear. And he's going down, which I guess from time to time is not the easiest river to kayak on, and he swims a little bit. Mike, any information on that? You want to go ahead and pick up a little bit of that?
And when I picked this article out, I didn't realize it was all written in the first person, so yeah, it's going to be kind of hard to do it without just reading it, but we will. I'm an old kayaker myself. I don't do it anymore, but been there, done that. Did some up in northeastern Australia, and I've got stories I could tell. But let's go here. Anyway, I guess that the article starts out where he's upside down in the shockingly cold water of the Arkansas River above Granite, Colorado. And so he dumped it. And his radio gear is stored in the kayak and really not concerned about himself. He's more concerned about the radio gear stored in the aft hold of the kayak. I guess he's, as we start out, he's standing in swift, shallow water, one hand on the flooded kayak and the other clutching the paddle. With a kayak, you don't have your paddles, you're in deep doo-doo. 10 o'clock in the morning, July, the sun is shining, there are grassy banks on each side of the river, and this river meanders through a glacial valley about 9,000 feet above sea level. So, you know, the panoramic, or the views are breathtaking, he says. Go ahead, take it from there, Tom.
Well, I guess in his travels there, you know, he came across the fly fisherman out there and probably wondered what he was doing. And it must have looked like he needed help, but he didn't. So anyway, like I say, the air temperature about 70, water is about 60. And of course, if you're going to kayak like that, best to have dry clothes in a watertight bag, okay, and move on. So anyway, as this article starts out, it's really not the best time he had there on the river. So, but anyway, so he's starting out from the headwaters of the Arkansas River, and it's near the Continental Divide. Very high altitudes. We actually talked about north of Leadville, and you know, that was a Tech Tuesday we did a few weeks back. So with this, of course, a great opportunity to set up, you know, a portable station and whatnot. And, you know, of course, he had success in his last article. But, you know, this is really going to be quite the trip. And, you know, he's coming across snow. You know, like you said, this is from a glacial valley. And I bet the water probably is remnant of that glacier. So very cold. Well, no, it could be about 35, I guess. So I guess he's not doing too bad. But, yeah, with the amateur radio, you know, he's sticking up dipoles. And Mike, why don't you pick it up from there?
Dokie. Yep, I guess he's strung up dipoles between trees and also planted a vertical on the mountainside. So I guess he's telling us that he's had, maybe not on this trip, but PSK-31 contacts from his tent in the middle of the night, operated sideband from the trail side in the afternoon and evening. Now he's looking forward to settling down and having some nice CW contacts at the side of the river. But I guess it took him longer than he had expected. And at that point in time, fell victim to a vicious bacterial infection. Wasn't an ordinary stomach virus because it was about a week and he didn't feel any better. So now he's back in the emergency room in Kansas and a few units of IV fluids and antibiotics, about 3 weeks of rest. All the while he's thinking about getting back on the river, but he kind of lost his window of time. So hopefully there's enough snow melt when he gets back on the river to actually continue on and try to reach his goal. Now this guy is into immersive journalism, which means he immerses himself right into it. He's an associate professor at Emporia State University in Kansas. So these are the articles that he's writing. Well, he says here it's a little unseasonable, Tom. So go ahead and take it from there.
KF6Q here with Tip Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. Well, yeah, so he kind of thought that his trip and his whole adventure was done, but luck, he had some unseasonable thunderstorms, and it kept the river up at optimum levels. And with that, plenty of water to float down to Granite. So as the storms were continuing so much, the sunny skies were rare and brief. And, of course, the storms provide rain for the river, so I guess if you don't have the storms, you don't have any water in the river, or maybe not enough, at least to kayak. So this is a whole key point here. So while they lasted, you know, he was able to, get going there. But the storms themselves, of course, created a problem with amateur radios, we know. That's not good. And I guess he had a nearby lightning strike. Or at least it was a risk, and he wanted to get that immersed. So with that, he just, did the best he could do, and and let's pick it up from there. Looks like he had a Small Wonder Labs DSW-2 transceiver. Mike, you want to tell us about that?
I think he must have built it himself because it was a kit, so obviously. But it also had a AA battery pack with alkalines. I would have rather had some rechargeables and a solar panel, but maybe not working if he's having thunderstorms and stuff. Had a long wire antenna made of number 22 gauge speaker wire. So he just strings up some wire, and I guess he had an ALT antenna tuner, and let's see. Oh yeah, and that tuner was built into an Altoids kit. A lot of QRPers do that. Use those Altoids tins to build their gear in, and kind of cool. And that tuner will tune his rig, his little QRP rig, from 10 to 40 meters. Let's see. So I guess all of his antenna, his tuner, everything fits into the space about the size of a cigar box. And he kind of slings an antenna up into the tree. He's operating within 5 minutes. Very cool. Looks like he's using a small set of brass paddles for CW, Scorpion paddles. And let's see. Well, it looks like he didn't wear his wetsuit jacket, so he was kind of cold. And the trouble is this is in first person, but we'll get through it. Anyway, so he opted for capillene layers to keep him warm up underneath his PDF. Anyway, why don't you take it from there, Tom?
And sadly, I guess that kit that he built this from has been discontinued, but, that happens sometimes if they don't get enough market for those things. So, anyway, I can see from the picture, though, he had all this in a nice Pelican case. Pelican, of course, brand new, but very good, durable cases if you're ever, out there and about. Well, yeah, anyway, so, anyway, the, yeah, I guess so he ran across a boulder that turned his cruise into a brisk swim. You're going down a river, and you'll just see just the top of something, or it'll be just below the surface. And I guess this is what happened with him, you know, and, with the water slamming him against the rock, you know, no room to move around or maneuver, so that's called exiting the kayak. However, you got to remember that, you know, all his gear is there, so he's got to make sure he doesn't lose all that stuff. But he had not worn his wetsuit that day, and he had left that back someplace. Not the greatest thing there. So, you know, that's when you get very soaking wet and cold all at the same time. So, anyway, well, of course he did have his PDF, and we're not talking about a document here, a personal flotation device. Ha-ha. So, and that's a very good thing out there, and make sure that you stay afloat if you happen to run into something and don't stay conscious. So, anyway, let's go on with his adventures here, Mike. I'm going to hand it back over to you.
Tom Wallach. And a little heavy breathing, and I guess that he'd been reminded how much of a flatlander he was. Well, I guess he's used to elevations about 1,190 feet, so 98 feet. And here he's at 9,000. I get up to 7,000 and I kind of find the breathing a bit difficult sometimes with my condition here. But never had altitude sickness before, but I guess that he figures that maybe that the bug that he caught caused him to be a little bit more susceptible to that. Well, he then changed into dry clothes, had a little snack and half a bottle of water, and I guess his hands finally stopped shaking. And he was going to find a spot on the grassy bank to throw the long wire antenna up to operate some CW. I guess he had rummaged through the Holden kayak to get the radio gear out, which he was very concerned would not be dry, and found that he had packed it pretty good. Not a drop of water, so that was pretty good. But then he had pulled that out a little at a time. The antenna came out, the battery pack, and then the paddles. Well, it seems like the paddles feel a little odd. So he flipped them over, kind of looked at the pivot screws and the nuts and the arms, thinking they had maybe loosened up. But as it turned out, he snagged the paddles on his sleeve, and the spring kind of shot out and landed in the water. Well, that's not a good thing when the spring on your paddles lands in the water. Not going to send a lot of CW that way. So I guess what he then decided is, well, he could find another spring. A lot of times we'll use a spring out of an old-fashioned ballpoint pen and either cut it down to what you want or, you know, somehow make it work. Because without that paddle, he's not doing anything. He didn't have a mic. This rig was only CW. And I guess not knowing the little DSW-2, I don't know whether it's got a key or built into it or not, but apparently it does, so he needed a paddle. Guess he kind of resigned to the fact that he wasn't going to operate, so I guess then he finished the day, got into a Jeep, and his day was over, and then ran into a pretty good lightning storm. Then it started to hail, marble-sized hailstones. I'm going to time out here. So back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I guess that was just, the day was just not going good for him. And like you say, large marble-sized hailstones and dark clouds, all that. You know, his CW paddle broke, or at least not going to work for him that day anyway, so. But, as we know, with all storms will stop, and the sun came out, so he tried to get his vertical planted and get a little operation there on the single sideband with his ICOM IC703, and a little SLA battery. Those are pretty cool, you know, if you've ever seen those, they're pretty handy, 25 to 30 bucks, and neat for out there in the portable. With all that said, tricky as how inefficient phone is compared to PSK31 and CW, but hey, you know what? The battery will last as long as it'll last, so. But I guess he only had one weak response to his call and not even a good solid copy, and I guess that's really going to make it just top off the day. So anyway, Mike, sounds like he had just about hit the end of his trail there. You want to go ahead and take it from there. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
Wasn't exactly the trip that he was expecting. Anyway, I guess he packed everything back up into the Jeep and was kind of on the way looking for a convenience store to find a banana. have a spring for his paddle, and decided not to push himself anymore. Anyway, the whole trip, I guess the material loss was only the spring worth a couple of cents, but the real loss was that he had lost the opportunity to operate on that trip that he was really looking forward to, although he still wrote the article, so, but a little more negative than what he expected. For the remainder of the river, there is no more capsizes. I guess he got back on the water and everything went good, and he got the paddles repaired and, went to go out and do it for another day. And he did get a giveaway. Actually, the pen that he got was a giveaway pen at an auto parts store, so that's how he got his paddle going. Well, Tom, that's kind of the article, and just shows you how you can have fun or not when you're operating portable. I've never actually operated out of a kayak. I've done quite a bit of kayaking back in the olden days, in the 90s, but never really was into radio. That was one of my periods when I was not operating. So I think that would be kind of cool, kind of get even the old KX3 and kind of put it on the kayak, put some sort of an antenna and tool around. Hey, back to you, Tom. KS62 WB60LZ with Tech Tuesday.
You know, Mike, actually, and this is a good example here, I think this is one of the reasons why this article was picked out by QST to put in here. Of course, it's always good to be out in an adventure like that if you're that type of person. And kayaking, of course, is a challenge in itself. Obviously, he has done this before. But you know what? That's just the challenge in itself. So if you're out there expecting or, really expecting to make all these great contacts, you may not get what you think. So you have to pretty much settle for what happens. It is what it is. We found that in field day this last year, propagation was down, and we had actually a lot of good sites out there, but, that's just happened. It happens is what happens. So that's, it's always good to be prepared for that, and as we see here, a couple things that could go wrong and did go wrong and kept going wrong. You have to make sure that you, if you want to have to come out victorious over all that, and be the victor, take a couple extra this's and that's. I don't know about a CW spring. Now, that would probably be one thing I would not think about. But you know what? For the rest of his gear, I guess, to say the least, everything was packaged well. In spite of all the overturns of the kayak and the rain and everything else he was into, the gear stayed dry. So he did plan ahead there. That was great. Probably a good statement there for the Pelican case. And, that's great. So, if you're going to be out there and fighting the elements, make sure that you have all the weapons to take on that battle. So, because you never know. It may not be as simple as what you think. Anybody else out there ever had any experiences like this or any statements to say about this article, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
L.A.S.
Yes, and there is a man who likes to go out and adventure hiking and stuff. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, just real quick, I may have missed it. Where was he kayaking?
Well, okay, not in Arkansas. He's on the Arkansas River, but he's in Colorado. So basically, above Granite, and I think he started out up by Leadville, which is way up there in altitude, at the headwaters of the Arkansas River.
Okay, I've done a bit of yakking and a lot of whitewater, and I'd like to make an observation.
Yes, go ahead.
Number one, most whitewater, most yakkers and whitewater rafters and so on, they're in a canyon. Why in the world would he even think about making radio contacts in a canyon unless he was in flat water, which is not conducive to yakking or whitewater rafting?
Well, I think, number one, he wasn't doing any whitewater rafting whatsoever there. He's just in a kayak. And this river actually, for the most part, was meandering through a glacial valley, which glacial valley, in this case, very wide, and 9,000 feet above sea level. So actually, I think Mike remembers, and I think I remember when we did the first part of this, that was actually part of his downfall, as parts of the area were being blocked by mountains. And he still got out, made a contact, but you want to be on top of the mountain, not in the valley below it. So very good point, but more of the challenge, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, good picture of the area in this issue, but like I said, there were areas that were wide open. I think that's probably when he made his best contacts, Bill. Back to you, Bill.
I'm not trying to disparage the guy or anything. I was just, you know, kind of wondering because, like I say, I've done a lot of whitewater, very little yakking, and I couldn't understand why he was trying to make radio contacts, you know, in a canyon, which is where most of the white water or the good water is for kayaking and or rafting. So,
okay,
thank you much, KD6 Elliott.
Yeah, I see your point there, Bill, and you know, it'd be like climbing up the face of El Capitan in Yosemite there and then trying to, you know, do CW with your toes or something. There are things that you can always make it a little bit easier than what some people bite off there. So, but anyway, anybody else out there, any comments about getting out there in the wild and running a, actually, this is basically, you know, QRP, you know, very low power stuff. So that also makes it a challenge. So any other comments?
I've got one.
Yes, sir, the kayaker and the QRP guy. Go ahead.
The kayak does not look like a river kayak. I mean, it looks like it would handle some white water, but it's a Tupperware boat. Looks like it may be like an ocean kayak without a rudder. Pretty good size. And he's using some pretty long paddles, too. So it probably was more of like an expedition-type kayak than a river kayak, from what I'm seeing here. Anyway, and he was planning on operating not on the river, but on the banks of the river, you know, in the evenings when he would put it up on the shore and like that. So that, I think, is what's going on. Back to you, Tom.
You know, also, some of you out there listening, if you're club members, I think it was, earlier last year, I got the D-Expeditions DVD from the ARRL and brought it to one of our meetings, and it was basically, was it Peter the First, I think, Island, basically down there by Antarctica, and this group went down there, and I got to tell you, it was amazing to see this. You had to see the DVD. Because basically, they went down there in the summer of Antarctica, which is our winter up here. You think, okay, well, you know, it's summer down there, and it's going to be not too bad. Man, it was like almost blizzard conditions every other day. In fact, probably about 8 days out of 9. And with that said, and that's the best conditions, you know, it's just a challenge. And I think this is why people do this stuff. It's a challenge in beating the elements sometimes. It makes it, you know, you get that feeling, even when they almost have you beaten down, which this poor guy, I know there was probably times like he probably thought, well, why am I doing this? Oh, yeah. So, but at the end, you know, it's all experience and need to do. I would say if anybody out there wanted to try something like this, you definitely want to be prepared. You know, you don't want to go out there without any experience. So, anybody else out there, any comments on that, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group. All right, hearing that, well, Mike, pretty neat article. I mean, it's kind of good follow-up. And like I said, it's amazing that the second part of the article, they literally titled it correctly, which is the journey on the Arkansas River continues with Murphy's Law in full force. Poor guy. The man here is Max McCoy, call sign Kilo Charlie Zero Max, Mike Alpha X-ray, and you know, definitely will remember this. I'm sure he will. All right, well, good little article here, a little follow-up, and we'll close down Tech Tuesday here for this evening. Glad to have everybody out there join us this evening, and we'll have some other articles, of course, to go through next week. Same time, same station, same repeater, right here at 1900 hours. So, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control, with the help of WB6CLZ and the group out there, closing Tech Tuesday at 1900 hours and 37 minutes, and thanking everybody that has joined us, and hope you'll come back to us next week. Returning the repeater back to normal use.